preach your word. Lord, I know that so many of us are excited and so much work has gone into preparing this building, Lord, but I pray that for the next few moments you'd help us to focus, Lord. Help my mind to be clear, Lord. Help me to say the things you would have me to say, Father. And that when we would leave here this morning, when we'd bow our heads to be dismissed, that we would know that your Spirit has met with us, that we would know that your word has been taught to us, Lord, and that you've helped us, Lord. And I pray you just, your Spirit would come upon me. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're there in Joshua chapter number 13, and we've actually been talking quite a bit about Joshua in the last few weeks. And just by way of introduction, if you remember, the book of Joshua is a book of the Bible, and it's really a very... book of Joshua is one of my favorite... In fact, it's my favorite book of the Bible in the Old Testament. My wife and I ended up naming our firstborn son Joshua, just because I enjoyed this book so much. And this book is a very interesting book, very exciting book. It's a book about conquering, it's a book about wars, and Joshua, just so you kind of get the idea, Moses, if you remember, led the children of Israel in the wilderness. Remember, they went around and around the wilderness for 40 years, and they were never able to go into the promised land because of their sin and their backbiting and their murmuring against God. But when that generation died and Joshua took the leadership role there, Joshua was able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and they were able to go in and conquer the land and take over the land. And if you remember last week, we talked about sanctify yourselves. Remember when Joshua told the children of Israel, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. And they were getting ready to cross that Jordan River and go into that promised land and do all those things. Well, in chapter 13, we fast forward towards the end of the life of Joshua. At this point, they've already conquered many cities. They've already won many battles. They've already accomplished many wonderful things. And in the book of Joshua, chapter 13, if you look at verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years." He's a very old man at this point. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him," and I want you to notice this phrase, because the Bible tells us this is God speaking verbally to Joshua. We understand at this time in history, they did not have necessarily the entire written word of God like we do, so God would verbally speak to these men. And the Bible says there, "The Lord said unto him," notice what he says, "Thou art old and stricken in years." And the Bible says this, "And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." And this morning I want to preach on that phrase, or just talk to you for a few minutes on the phrase that God told Joshua. When Joshua was getting ready to finish his earthly ministry, when he was getting ready to give up the ghost and go on home to heaven, when he was getting ready to finish up there, right before Joshua handed off that role of authority and that role of leadership to the next person that would lead the children of Israel, God said to Joshua, "Joshua, you've done a good job." He says, you're an old man, you're stricken in years, but I want you to understand something, Joshua. And he said, "I want you to understand that there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." See, you say, "Pastor, why are you preaching a sermon like this?" Because oftentimes in church atmospheres, when you have a good victory, like the one we've had, see, you got to understand, some of you may be here and you're thinking, "I don't know what the big deal is." If you saw, you know, where we were meeting just last week, you'd understand why this is such a big deal to many of us. And, you know, our church, just to give you a little history, our church started September 5th, 2010. We've been around here for exactly 1 year and 10 months, right about there. And, you know, in 1 year and 10 months, the Lord has given us a lot of victories. You know, we don't talk about it a lot, but do you know that in 1 year and 10 months, our church has had 192 people saved? That's amazing. That's impressive. 192 people through the ministry of Verity Baptist Church have bowed their heads and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And this was a small group meeting in a house, reaching more people than the average church, you know, the average church today. And you say, "Well, how do you know that?" Because if you talk to the average church today, they boast about having 10 people saved in a year. And our church had 192 people saved. You say, "Well, how do you do that?" Well, we were soul winning. We worked at it. In a year and 10 months, we've had 22 baptized. Praise the Lord for that. That's good. In a year and 10 months, we've had our highest attendance we had. Keep in mind, this is a house. This is meeting in a living room. We had 58 people crammed in there. Highest attendance we had in a church service in a year and 10 months. God has given us a lot of victories. In the last few weeks, we're able to purchase a 15-passenger van that, Lord willing, we're going to be packing out and being able to pick people up for church and bring them to church. And those who don't have rides or aren't able to come but would like to come. Obviously, God allowed us to be able to move out of the house and rent a facility and fix it up and make it look nice and have it proper and ready to be able to meet in church. But here's those are all good things, and those are good things. But here's the dilemma that I have. So often, church people could walk into a building like this, sit down, and here's what they think, consciously or subconsciously. I'm going to ask you to put your feet down, please. Appreciate it. Consciously or subconsciously, people walk in an auditorium like this, and they'll sit down, and they'll say, we're done. We've arrived. We're no longer in the house. Look at this building. It's textured nicely, as long as, you know, certain guys don't point out certain things to you. It's painted nicely. It's bordered and trimming and chair rail, and look at the carpet, and look at the platform, and look at this, and look at, and we would think, you know, we're done. We've done what we set out to do, and now we can just sit here and look at each other and grow old together. But what you've got to understand is that God looked at Joshua, and look, Joshua had a lot of victories. You read the book of Joshua, and there was king after king after king that they had taken over the land, that they had beat, that they had conquered, and they had so many things. And at the end of Joshua's life, he could have said, I've accomplished a lot. But God kind of puts things in perspective. He kind of humbles him a little and says, Joshua, you're old, you're stricken in years. He says, you're an old man, and you've done a lot. But let me tell you something. There remaineth very much more land to be possessed. And Verity Baptist Church this morning, what I'd like to tell you is this is just the beginning. This is just, we're just getting started now. This is not the time to sit down and kind of just, you know, think, okay, we're good now and we don't have to do anything more. Look, there is still much more land to be possessed. Amen. And what I like about what God says to him, because here's the statement that God says, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. I'd like you to notice a few things in that statement. Number one, I'd like you to notice the lack of a finality. Notice he says, there remaineth yet. He says, Joshua, I know you've done a lot, but he says, there's still a lot more work to be done. You know what God is telling Joshua? He's saying, you've got to teach the next generation to keep doing what you're doing. So, well, when are we done? Well, let me explain to you when you may be asking, well, when is Verity Baptist Church going to be done? When will we have accomplished the goal that we've accomplished? Well, let me explain that to you. Go with me to your New Testament book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. If you go to the New Testament, you've got the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Fifth book in the New Testament. Acts chapter number 1. And look at verse number 8. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1 is a very famous passage in the Bible. It's when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back up to heaven. And before he ascended back up to heaven, in verse 8, he gave them one of those, a very famous verse where he gives them the Great Commission. And by the way, let me explain to you, this is the purpose of church. I know today people have an idea that church is somewhere you go and just kind of fellowship and find a babysitter or something, you know. Church is where you go and meet friends. And I'm all for that. I'm all for coming to church to meet friends and coming to church for fellowship and potlucks and ladies' conferences and all stuff like that. But the most important thing that church is for is for this purpose. If you look at verse number 8, it says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, you got to understand this. Jesus is literally speaking these words moments before he's ascended up to heaven. Moments before he leaves his disciples. Moments before he sees his disciples for the last time. And his closing statement to his disciples is this. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And, notice what he says. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's soul winning, by the way. So, I thought the Jehovah's Witnesses were the ones that did. No, the Bible, you know, just because people take an idea from the Bible and make it their own, doesn't make it wrong. And the Bible, Jesus Christ said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, here's the thing. If I know church people, which I think I do, as soon as Jesus was saying these words, ye shall be witnesses unto me, here's what the disciples were probably thinking, because they're human beings. Well, how much do we have to do? Tell us how much we have to do, because here's how the human mind thinks. I want to do the just bare minimum. I want to do just the least that is asked of me. And he says, you shall be witnesses to me. Look at verse 8. He says, both in Jerusalem. And the disciples are probably thinking to themselves, that's easy. You've already done that. We can take care of that. And then he says, and in all Judea. Now, Jerusalem was the city, the town that they were living in. Judea, you can think of that more like the province or the state they were. So Jesus said, both in Jerusalem, and I'm sure the disciples were like, no problem. And he says, and in Judea. And they're like, well, that's something we could take care of. And he says, and in Samaria, you could consider that like the next state over. Like, that would be if we say we're trying to reach Sacramento and California and Nevada. And then they're probably thinking, okay, that's a little more work, but we can do it. But notice the Lord Jesus Christ says, Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And notice what he says, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You say, what does that mean? Here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. There is no place to stop. Where you say, Pastor, when are we done soul winning? When are we done preaching the gospel? When are we done reaching people? When are we done, you know, going out and knocking doors and getting people saved and getting them to church and discipling them and baptizing them and teaching them the Bible? You say, when are we done? We're never done. Amen. There always remaineth much more land to be possessed. Do you understand that? You say, are we going to go down to Elk Grove, and are we going to go up to North Sac, and are we going to go to West? No. When we reach Sacramento, which by the way, we'll never do. Say, why not? Because there's always babies being born. It's always people moving in. But when we reach Sacramento, the Lord Jesus Christ has told us, hey, you've got the whole world unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And here's what he tells us. He says, there's no place to stop. There's a lack of finale. You say, well, when am I done with the Christian walk? When the Lord takes you home. Paul said, I have finished my course. He said, I fought a good fight. I want you to notice something else. So go with me to Matthew chapter number 28. Last chapter in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 28. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission 5 different times in Scripture. 5 different times do we have Him telling us to preach the gospel. And in Acts 1:8 He says, look, there's no place to stop. He says, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But in Matthew chapter number 28, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, by the way. If you look at verse 19, here's a very famous passage as well. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Notice what he says. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you till retirement. Is that what it says? And lo, I am with you for 5 years, and that's all I expect of you. Is that what it says? And lo, I am with you for the 2 years that they send you on your missionary journey for the Mormons. Is that what it says? He says, lo, I am with you. Notice what he says. All way, even. Notice what he says. He's like, well, when are we done? Unto the end of the world. What I'd like you to understand, and what very Baptist churches need to think, you say, well, Pastor, we've done all this work, and we've been here every night, and we've been cleaning, and you're, you know, are we going to get a break? Look, you'll get a break. You'll get a week break. Don't worry. But as soon as you get your little rest time, hey, we've got work to do. Why? Because there remaineth yet very much land to possess. You say, well, look, we've got a good crowd here. Yeah, but there's people out there that haven't heard the gospel. There's people out there that will die. Listen to me. There's people out there that will die and spend eternity in hell if you and I don't get them the gospel. That's why there's more land to be possessed. There's never a finality. There's never a point where we cross the line and we say, we're done. We're finished. Look, there's always families that need to be saved. There's always marriages that need to be helped. There's always people that need to hear the gospel and be able to have their life. Hey, look, there's always going to be Narcotics Anonymous who are going to need some help. For some of you, that's an inside joke. You say, what is that supposed to mean? This used to be the Narcotics Anonymous building before we took it over. I was almost thinking of just leaving the Narcotics Anonymous sign up there. I think that'd be nice. So when we get a lot, you know, when you get a visitor, it kind of looks, you know, he might just be looking for something else. But you know, this. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying there's people that need help. And there will always be people that need help. There's no finality to ministry. You're never done. You're never retired. You're never finished. You may retire your job, but you don't retire God. You may retire your career, but you don't retire serving God. You say, Pastor, when do you plan to retire? I plan on preaching till I'm dead. In fact, I'd like to preach literally till I'd like to die behind the pulpit just preaching. I know that probably freak out most of you, but I think that'd be cool. That'd give me a good story to tell in heaven. There's no finality. He says, notice this. I like how God just kind of takes the air out of our sails. He says, Joshua, you've done a good job, but there remaineth yet. He says, there's still a lot more work to be done. I said, number one, there's no finality. Number two, I want you to understand this. There's no freedom. Go back to Joshua chapter number 13. Look at verse number 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, notice what he says, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very, notice this, much land, notice these words, to be possessed. He says, look, there's much land. He says, you've accomplished a lot, but there's a lot more that needs to be done. And these words, to be, here's what he said. He's saying, here's what you're going to do. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Not only was God telling Joshua that you've got to keep doing what you're doing, but he was telling Joshua, you've got to keep doing what you're doing in the same way you're doing what you're doing. You understand that? Let me just clarify a few things, because I think some people may have an issue. Sometimes people have this idea. Well, when we were in the house, Pastor preached real hard on sin and real hard on standards, and we used that King James Bible, and it was about soul winning, and we got those in. But now in the new building, we're trying to bring a crowd, right? So we're going to bring in that contemporary Christian rock music, right, Pastor? We're gonna bring in the screens, right, and have a rock concert so we can get people into the new building, right, Pastor? No. We're bringing that NIV, right, Pastor? Because that's much easier to understand, right? See, you got to understand, not only do we keep doing what we're doing, but we're going to keep doing what we're doing the same way we did it, like we were doing it before. See, God was telling Joshua, Joshua, you're not done, but he said you got to keep doing what you've been doing. You got to teach these people to fight, to war, to conquer. Do it the same way. Let me tell you something. Methods, our methods will and will always stay the same. Yes, the name Baptist will stay on the sign. Say, why?
You'll get more people here if you call it non-denomination. Because
that identifies us. That's who we are. We'll always have the old hymns. We'll always have the King James Bible. We'll always preach on sin. We'll always preach this loud. Say, Pastor, it's too loud. Look, it was loud when you got here. It'll be loud when you leave. It's going to be like this. Say, well, we're not going to reach a crowd. Look. This is what you gotta understand. And I said this before, but we need to say it again. We are not trying to reach a crowd. The goal of Pastor Jimenez is not to be the next Joel Osteen. I'm not trying to be the next big preacher. You know what I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to get people saved. And if people come and if people join and if people do it, praise God for it. But we're not here to fill a building. We're here to serve God. The Bible says that God's the one that gives the increase. So you know what? You say, well, what are we going to do? We're just going to be faithful. We're just going to stay at it. We're just going to keep the main thing the main thing. Here's what I want you to say. There's no freedom in serving God. There's no liberty in how you serve God. We are bound to God's Word. Today there is a movement. Have you ever heard of this? It's called the seeker sensitive movement. Everybody ever heard that term before? Seeker sensitive? Today there are churches, you know, like our church was a new church plant that we started or whatever. Today churches are taught that when you start a new church in an area, They call it the seeker sensitive. So they say you're sensitive to those you're seeking. And here's what they'll do. You know, about 2 months or 3 months before you start the church, you send out a survey just around the community where you're going to start a church. And here's what you ask. You know, the survey says questions like this. Do you prefer rock music or rap music? Do you prefer country music or whatever? What's your favorite Bible translation? Do you like loud preaching or stuff? And here's what they do. They get all these surveys. You know, they send out like 5,000 surveys. And maybe they get back like 1,000 or whatever. So then these people, they go through and here's what they figure out. You know, they're like, wow, most people in this area like country music. So that's the kind of music we're going to have in church. Christian country music. Or if they're like starting a church in Oakland or something, and it's like, most people in this area like rap. You know, it's like, so we're going to have Christian rap. Or whatever. You know, whatever it is. You say, Pastor, that's racist. You know, don't worry about it. Whatever that idea is. And they call it seeker sensitive. I heard somebody say this. Churches ought not be seeker sensitive. They ought to be savior sensitive. Our goal is not to please the crowd. Our goal is to please the Savior and serve God and just do what He tells us to do. Go with me real quickly. Let me show you a few verses. Go with me to Jeremiah. In your New Old Testament there, you open up, you find the big books of the prophets there, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number 16, look what it says, Jeremiah 6:16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord." Notice what he said. This is what God said. He said, "Stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the new path." Is that what it says? "And ask for the contemporary paths." Is that what it says? He says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the," notice this word, "old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Let me tell you something. Sometimes people come here, and they'll say, "Pastor Jimenez, I like your church, but you know what I don't like about it? It's just a little too old-fashioned for me." And they're saying that as like trying to offend me. That's a compliment. Praise God. You say, your church is a little too, those songs are just a little too old-fashioned. They're just a little outdated. Look, you say, you're trying to be old-fashioned. Look, I'm trying to be as old-fashioned as God is. You say, are you trying to be like the 50s? No, I'm trying to be like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, like Moses. Look, let me tell you something. The way our society is working right now does not work. Do you understand that? Do you understand when 50% of marriages, Christian marriages, end in divorce? You say, we're led to believe that there's a contemporary Christian revival going on today. And they'll say, "Go down to Capital Christian Center, and go down to Calvary Christian Center, and go down to..." You say, "I can't believe you're calling out the name." "Well, we did it before. Nothing's changed. Just walls and ceiling tiles that we worked on 3 or 4 different times." You say, today we're told there's this church and that church and they've got 3,000 people and 5,000 people in Adventure Christian. But here's what you gotta say. Churches that don't preach against sin. Churches that are just a rock concert. When you come in and here's what people say. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Say, what are you gonna show us? Let me show you something. 2 Timothy in your New Testament. Find the T books. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Churches, let me explain something to you. Church is not a social club. Church is where people go and they're just there to be made to, so you feel good. And everybody leaves and says, "Oh, I felt so good. The pastor just gave that little sermonette. And I just really feel like God loves me." While you're in fornication, while you're in adultery, while you're on drugs, while you're an alcoholic, while you're living in sin. Let me tell you something. You're there in 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy, is that where I told you to go? Look at where do I want you to go? Verse number 4. Chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse 1. Look at it. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse 1. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God." Now this is, understand, this is the Apostle Paul, a seasoned minister, training a young man, Timothy, for the ministry. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, "I charge thee therefore before God." He said, "What I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you before God." He says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ," he says, "who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Here's what you got to say. He's saying, "Timothy, just remember this, that God and Jesus Christ are the ones that are going to judge you when you die." He says, with that in mind, look at verse 2. He says, "Preach the word." He says, "Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Now look, he says, be instant. Notice what he says, in season, out of season. Do you understand that? Do you understand what it means to be in season and out of season? You know, like when ladies buy, you go to wherever. I don't know what a nice place is. Walmart? No. What's a nice store?
Sears.
Is that a nice store? No, I'm thinking of one. Nordstrom. There you go. If you go to Nordstrom, you gotta get right with God. No, I'm just kidding. You gotta shop at Walmart. No, that's not in the Bible. But here, you know when ladies go and they buy these clothes or whatever? And then because women are kind of evil. And then you see you with your new clothes and they're like, "That's so out of season. That was the last year." You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe you can think of like sports. Yeah, amen. Praise God. You know, like there's a football season, there's a baseball. It's when you're doing that, right? The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, look at verse 2. He says, "Preach the word." Now the word is referring to the Bible. He says, "Preach the word." And he says, "Be instant." And he says, "I want you to preach the word." He says, "Timothy, remember that God's the one that's going to judge you." And he says, "Preach the word, whether it's in season or out of season." He says, "Whether it's popular or whether it's not popular." He says, "Whether they like it or whether they don't like it." He says, "Your job is to preach the word." But that's not the seeker-sensitive movement.
Let me tell you something. At Verity Baptist Church, we'll stand against divorce till I die. You say, well, Pastor, you've got to understand that that's something that's just accepted now in our society. I don't care. God's against it. God's against divorce. God's against, you know, splitting up and breaking vows and lying to God and men. And by the way, it's better for your children. And you say, well, you're never going to preach. You're never going to build a church preaching like that because 50% of the community is divorced. I know. I don't care. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying to preach the word. I don't care if President Obama says it's okay for gay marriage. The Bible's against it. Amen. And if I'm the last preacher who stands against the sin of sodomy and homosexuality, it's wicked, it's sin, it's an abomination before the eyes of God is what the Bible says. And just like today, you know, we were out soul winning once.
Who was it? Brother Daryl.
And Brother Daryl and I were out soul winning, and I knocked on this door. And it was these kids, these teenage kids, there was maybe like 3 or 4 of them. And I already knew something was iffy when I couldn't tell which ones were the boys and which ones were the girls. Because, you know, the girls today want to cut their hair a little short. The boys want to cut it a little long. They all want to wear their tight jeans. You know, and they kind of walk with the little... And I think I said, oh, I'm pretty sure that's the boy. I'm not so sure about that one, but okay. And we knocked on the door and they started, you know, I always give people the benefit of the doubt. And they said, oh, they were really excited. They're like, yeah, blah, blah. And they're like, we go to Calvary Christian Center. And I said, okay, but praise the Lord, whatever, you know. And then we're trying to give them the gospel, but they didn't want to talk or whatever. So as we're walking out, the weirdest looking one, he's like, hey, pastor, just got one question. Is your church gay friendly? And I just looked at him and I said, absolutely not. And I just walked away. And that was me restraining myself, you know. But you know what that tells me? This kid was like really involved and really, that's really terrible, that's a true story. Really involved and really in this, in Calvary Christian Center. You know what that tells me? They accepted there. You say, well, you know, why do they accept it there? Because they're trying to reach the crowd. Look, I'm all for getting more people in here. I'm all for growing. But we're not going to do it at the expense of God's word. We're not going to do it, and we will preach against that stuff. We will preach against alcohol. We will preach against drugs. We will preach against laziness and stealing and sin. Hey, that's what America... You say, America, what does America need to... It needs this type of preaching where men are told to be men and women are told to be ladies and feminine and love God and be married and do right. That's what we need. Say, well, it's not popular. So, we'll preach it from the mountaintops. Because there's no liberty in how you serve God. You say, well, that preaching was popular 50 years ago. It doesn't matter if it's popular 50 years ago. It doesn't matter if tomorrow it's popular. We'll be in season. Out of season. You know, there used to be a time when Ronald Reagan was president. There was a time when it was real popular for everybody to wear suits and coats. Everybody wore suit and coats. Now today, people want to come to church. The pastors come to church and they're wearing their Hawaiian t-shirt and flip-flops. Look, you know what? I'm just going to be in season, out of season. We're just going to do... We cannot change what we believe based on the trends of this world. These kids need to see some consistency. They need to... My boys need to grow up and know that when Daddy was preaching as a young man, this is what he believed. And Lord willing, when Daddy's an old man, right before he dies at the pulpit, he's still preaching the same thing. That's what we need. That's what our society... You say, what does this community need? What does Northgate Boulevard need? What does this area need? It needs a church to stand up and preach against sin. To preach righteousness and the Bible and God's Word. That's what we need.
Amen.
You only going to continue what you're doing. He says you're going to continue what you're doing, but he said you're going to do it the same way. He said you're going to do it the way I told you to. There is no change in method. I just want to make it very clear. We're not changing methods. We're not changing pulp, you know, preaching style. We're not changing anything. We're going to go out and conquer, and we're going to go out and possess the land, but we'll do it the way God told us to. And if it fails, then glory be to God. We're not going to change. But here's what we are going to do. Notice what he says. He says, there remaineth yet very much. See, we're not going to change, but here's what we are going to do. You want to know what is going to change? We're just going to do more of it. We're just going to do more soul winning, more Bible reading, more Bible memorization, more preaching God's Word, more going out and being a light. We're just going to do more of it.
Amen.
You say, why? So we can reach more people. does not need another church that's a social club. If that's what you're looking for, I can point you and, you know, I can put a blindfold on you, spin you around a few times, and you just start walking. You'll walk into a church that's a social club. If you're looking for a church, you're there in 2 Timothy. Look what it says. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Look at verse number 3. Look what it says. I didn't put it in your Bible. For the time will come. I was wondering when that air conditioner would kick in. For the time will come when they, notice what it says, will not endure sound doctrine. That word doctrine there means teaching. He says there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. Look what it says. But after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The Bible tells us, and by the way, we're living in it, there will come a day when people will not go to church to hear God's word. They'll go to church because that preacher, he tickles my ear. And he makes me feel so good. Even though I was, you know, beat my wife last night, I came to church today and he told me it was okay because Jesus loved me. Look, Jesus does love you. But that's not how you grow. That's not how you get right with God. You know, I love that. And whenever I think of that itching ears, I always think of our dog Gunner. We got this dog Gunner. I can take a little time because you don't have to go to Hometown Buffet because we got food. So, but we got this dog Gunner. I mean, he's like this big. He's half lab, half German Shepherd, and he's all black. I mean, he looks tough. Brother Vincent went in. Brother Vincent was doing some work on for the 4th of July thing, and he went into our backyard, and Gunner runs away with his. His tail in between, you know, his legs, and he's like trying to get, he's like all scared of Brother Vincent because he had like a, what did you have, like a lawnmower or something? And, you know, I'm like, what's the point of having this dumb dog? But anyway, you know, we got this big old dog. He looks angry. He looks mean, so that's good. Yeah. At night, that's all I need. He's got a good bark. But, you know, you take this big old dog, I'm going to teach you how to break into my house. Okay? You just walk up to the dog, and he's all barking and growling, and you just start playing with his ear. Oh man, he's going to cuddle up right next to you. He's going to go and open the front door for you. Help you carry out the stuff, you know. Because that's how dogs are. You know, you get a dog and you start scratching his ear. You just see that lace. I go, oh, that feels good. You know my mom? That's the average church member today. They come to church and Joel Osteen gets up and says, oh, your best light now. And all the church people say, oh. And then the offer plate goes out and they're, here, take it. You think people want to give you think people want to give an offering after sermon like this? That's why we take the offering before this preaching. You got to figure it out. You know, you got to do it the right way. Look at what it says. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But notice, he says there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He says there will come a time when it's not popular to preach God's word, when it's not popular to sing the old hymns, when it's not popular to have stands and teach righteousness and do right. But notice what he said in verse 2. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. We're not changing our methods. But we can reach so many more people. Look, let me tell you something about ministry. Somebody taught me this a long time ago, and if you figure it out, you'd learn it. The Bible says, the Bible doesn't say, but I heard a preacher say this, and I thought, that's so good. What you win them with is what you'll win them to. You win them with worldliness, you'll win them to worldliness. I don't understand why we want to come to church and have the same garbage music they have in the world. Well, no, you don't understand. This is Christian rap. I'm trying to win you out of that garbage. Why would, you know, the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord. The Bible says, making a difference. How can we make a difference in people's lives when we're just like them? And how can we make a difference in people's lives when we struggle with the same sin they're struggling with? We've got the same issues they've got. It's time to step it up. It's time to take it seriously. It's time to say, you know what? I've got to get my Christian life in order. Why? Because there remaineth much more land to be possessed. I said, number one, there's a lack of finality. Number two, there's a lack of freedom in ministry. I understand we're free in Christ. I understand there's liberty in Christ, but when it comes to how we serve God, we've got to abide by the Bible. Number three, and I'm done. If you don't believe that, you're right. Notice the lack of failure in the statement.
Keep your finger there in 2 Timothy, because we might be coming back to that in a little bit. But go back to Joshua chapter number 13. Look what it says. Joshua chapter number 13. Joshua chapter number 13, look at verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land. Notice what he says. To be, notice this word, possessed. He doesn't say that you might possess. He doesn't say this is something I'd like to see if you can get to at some point. He says there's much land. He says, and you're going to conquer it. He says there's much land and you're going to get it. Go with me just real quickly. Go with me to the book of John, chapter number 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I know we're good. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 10. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 10. Look what it says real quickly. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You're slowing me down. If we don't get this done fast, it's your fault. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 10. Look what it says. Jesus Christ said this. He says, John chapter number 10. Oh, that's not the verse I wanted. Good night. John 10:10. Oh yeah, there it is. John 10:10. Look what it says. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Let me tell you something. Look what it says. This is Jesus Christ speaking, by the way. He says, I am come. Notice what he says. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Look, let me tell you something. Jesus does not want to see you fail at life. Jesus does not want to see you, you know, not make it in life. He said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it, he says, more abundantly. God wants, look, do you understand this? God wants Berry Baptist Church to do greater things than this. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, he says, you shall do greater things than these, referring to his ministry. He says, you'll do greater things than what I did. But you've got to understand that we've got to do it his way. But here's what I want you to understand. There's no room for failure. There's no room for failure. You say, will there ever come a point when Verity Baptist Church closes its doors and you know, just fails? There should never be. Because you know, the only way to fail is this, to quit. And as long as you don't quit, we'll never fail. And by the way, that goes in every area of life. Pastor, you don't understand. I had to get divorced. Why? You know why you got divorced? Because you quit. As long as you don't quit, you never fail. Yo, Pastor, you understand. I was, and it's every area of life. I failed at my diet. Because you quit your diet, that's why. I failed at my job. Well, that's because you were late, you know, a lot, and they have to let you go. But that's a different sermon for another time. The only way to fail is to quit. Let me show you a verse. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. Let's do it quickly. Proverbs chapter number 24. Look at verse number 16. Proverbs 24. Look at verse 16. Proverbs 24, 16 says, For a just man falleth 7 times, look what it says though, and riseth up again. So you know it doesn't matter how many times you fall, as long as you get back up. You know, the guys that were doing this building project, man, that was an adventure, wasn't it? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we were in here and it was praise the Lord, we're getting it done. And sometimes we were in here and it was like, you know, just like, you know. And that's for everything. Obviously, you spend so much time with people, you're going to have issues. But you know why we didn't fail? See, people think, if I fall, then I failed. No, if you fall and don't get back up, then you fail. But when you fall, the Bible says, a righteous man, look what it says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. So when you fail, you didn't actually fail till you don't get back up. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to get with it. Go back to 2 Timothy. I ask you to keep your place there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. The Apostle Paul is getting ready to die and he says, For I am now ready to be offered. Look what it says. And the time of my departure is at hand. He's saying, I'm getting ready to die. Look at verse 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Here's what I want you to understand. God says there's much more land to be possessed. But here's what you understand. That wasn't just given to them. They had to fight for that. And if our church is going to do something for God, if we're going to grow, if we're going to continue to be successful, it's going to be a fight, my friend. It's going to be a fight. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. The book of Jude says, earnestly contending for the faith. We're going to have to fight. God told Joshua, go back to Joshua. We're done right here, and this time I mean it. Joshua chapter number 13. Look what it says. Look at verse 1. Joshua chapter number 13. Joshua chapter number 13. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Pastor, are we done now?
Nope.
Do we have to go soul winning still?
Yeah.
Well, when will we be done? There's no place to be done. How far do we have to go? As far as we can go. We're never done. We're constantly ministering. We're constantly loving. We're constantly winning. We're constantly fighting and contending for the faith. Why? Because there's always more land to be possessed. Don't come in here and say, wow, beautiful building. Now I can sit down and do nothing. Now it's time to get active. Now it's time to get excited. Because guess what? Now when you tell your friend, hey, I'd love for you to come to church. And like, oh, where's it located? Well, it's actually in a house. And they're like, in a house? Now they don't have that excuse. Get excited. Why? Because there's much more land to be possessed. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. Lord, and I thank you that you allow us to be able to serve you. And Lord, I honestly, truly do believe there is no church like Verity Baptist Church. And that's not to say that there's not good churches out there. I know there is. I know there's churches out there taking a stand. I know there's churches out there preaching. I know there's churches out there getting people saved. I know it's out there. But Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the people you've brought together. I pray you'd use us. I pray you'd let us not get this attitude that we're done now. I pray you'd help us to see the vision, to see those people out there in the world and realize they need Jesus like we need Jesus. And they need God like we need God. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.